Welcome to the IBM Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Drinks and Destinations Podcast.
Thanks to the cultural diversity in India, we celebrate festivals throughout the year. But there's something about the month of December that brings joy and merriment that kind of resonates with the mood world over. Well, it's the season of winter fashion, series of food comas, mulled wines, or a dram of that favorite drink to help you ward off the winter chills. This is also the season of parties and holidays in exotic locations with friends and families. Hi, I'm your host Rujita and my co-host is Samira, and we welcome you to the first holiday season special episode of the Drinks and Destinations podcast. So Samira, are you ready to put on your party hats?
Hello guys. Well, Rojita, I don't know about you, but I'm all set to go party hopping this season. This is the much awaited time of the month for everyone. People are planning holidays, get-togethers with their families, traveling within the country and abroad. And people who are staying back also have a host of options to choose from. For everyone who has worked hard all year round, they have the Christmas parties to look forward to at work. Lots of house parties are also popular these days, and restaurants and bars and pubs are hosting several Christmas and New Year parties with regard to having special brunch offers in the day and special nights planned with musicians, artists, dancers, DJs. So, you know, we have all that information on the party scene and details on some happening events, brunches, dinners in many hotels and fine dining places across the country.
We also have the hotel manager of Four Seasons Hotel, Mr. Jasjeet Singh Assi, and food and beverage manager, the Leela Mumbai, Mr. Abhishek Basu, telling us about the Christmas and New Year special events taking place in their respective hotels this year. But before all that, we are going to chat with two interesting guests on our D&D chat segment today. Samira, do you want to tell our listeners who our guests are today?
Well, absolutely. We have two very interesting personalities coming in who are going to chat with us. First up is Mr. Anish Bhaseen. He's the co-founder of Hipcast, the mobile app on food, wine, beer and spirits in India. He's also an award-winning photographer. And next up, we have Nikhil Merchant, who is well known for his blog, Nonchalant Gourmand. He's a chef and a consultant as well. And in his free time, he likes to mix some drinks. And today, we have something very exciting happening at our podcast with these boys. This is the first time ever on the Drinks and Destinations podcast that we are going to do live beer tasting and talk about them on the podcast today. Yay!
Yes.
Yeah. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Hey guys, this is Malika Singhania, co-founder of the blog Stylogram, where we cover trends, fashion forecasts, celebrity style, tips and tricks, and lots more cool stuff. We are launching a new podcast called The Stylogram Show, where I will be speaking to celebrities, designers, models, store owners, and fashionistas. Our first show covers Lakme Fashion Week, where I caught up with some of my super cool designer buddies. So get ready to get your weekly dose of style with me, Malika, on my show, Stylogram. Follow me on Facebook at Stylogram Official and Instagram at Stylogram_Official to hear the latest on style and fashion.
Welcome back. We have in the studio today two very interesting, dynamic and talented gentlemen, Anish Bhaseen, co-founder of Hipcast, and Nikhil Merchant, a very well-known food blogger, chef and a consultant. D&D chat. Hello guys, thanks for being here with us today.
Hey guys,
hey,
good to be here.
So Nikhil, can you tell us a bit about your journey and your fascinating story? I know it, but I want my listeners to also know.
It all started with me liking to cook at the age of 12, and it so happened that I loved literature, language, you know, in school.
Yeah.
It so happened that I put two and two together and started writing about cooking, food and everything to do with the food world in way back in 2006.
Wow.
And it's about 10 years now since I've been writing for luxury publications. I've been cooking, I've been consulting restaurants, and also opening up my own place in Los Angeles as we speak. It's been a project since 1 year now, and that's been my journey since then.
Okay. And which was the first dish that you cooked?
The first dish? So we had, it's funny you should ask that, but in my house, we're vegetarians.
Okay.
And my dad used to make, like, every single day a bhaji with potato, no matter
okay.
what. It's just potato bhaji every single night. And I'd get bored of it. Like, after a while, you know, when I started realizing that there can be stuff done with, you know, ingredients after a while, I just went into the kitchen and say, hey, you know what, keep half the potatoes aside for me. And I want to just do something. So I replaced, you know, lemon with vinegar. I replaced the spices with some oregano. And at that time, and I'm talking like at least 20 years back, where you know, fresh and dried herbs were completely out of question, of but course. At least fresh were. So yeah. I just put together some sort of conti dish, if you can call it that.
And your version of continental
yeah,
dish.
And I steamed the potatoes instead of them usually doing it in that you know, in the kadai, and I had fresh herbs, vinegar, everything added to it. It just turned out to be something different, and it was for me, but everybody landed up eating it in my family. And then that's when I realized the potential of actually bringing that there can be more flavors to just the regular style of cooking. And it got me into this complete experimental stage where I started cooking things from all over. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all fell in place for me.
That's an interesting story.
And also, like, these days you have a lot of people who are food blogging and a lot of food mm-hmm. bloggers coming up. So what would you say kind of sets you apart, or what would you want to tell like an aspiring food blogger? Like, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? Things like that.
So I think food blogging is it's right now termed as something in a very concise space, mm-hmm. but I feel people are misunderstanding the whole concept of food blogging. Food blogging can be from a variety of topics. It can be from a cooking blog, it can be recipe, it can be food driven, it can be review driven. It can even be something which you experience on a travel base. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is the younger crowd, at least most of them what I see, they try to do everything without knowing what is it that they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody has a streak of baking, mm-hmm. then I think they should stick to baking, maybe explore the possibilities of doing something beyond that, say from baking sweets to going on to baking savories, mm-hmm. and then maybe expand their you know, their knowledge. I also feel it's all more about learning rather than teaching. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people do is they try to give gyan when it's not necessary. So I think you should learn, you should read, you should, you know, the new bloggers should actually understand what is it that they're speaking about. Do a little bit of research, which I think everybody loses out on. Mm-hmm. And then just write, and relentlessly. It's not about making your numbers count. It's not about, you know, trying to see how many likes you get. Because end of day, even if one person reads your work, I think that should do your job for you as a blog.
So what kind of trends do you see in 2016, Nikhil? Because you've been writing about food for a very long time.
Right.
As you said that you're opening up a couple of restaurants as well. One in pipeline in US. And so what kind of trends do you see internationally and specifically in India?
So let me start internationally, especially America. And I know stemming off from India to England, you know, other places, and going even more towards this United States, I've seen Indian food taking, or rather ethnic cuisine, taking a big, big stand. For example, in America, that like Thai and Cantonese food has been there since 30 years now. Indian food has always been there, but it was always targeted towards the community which was there. But since the last 5 years, there has been a complete change of, you know, people's perception of ethnic cuisine. And Indian food today stands right on top. And people are loving those flavors. They're loving our Ayurveda, you know, kind of
wow.
things. Of course, they've taken it to another level with your matcha lattes, and I mean, from the Asians,
and
chai
lattes.
Chai teas. And
yeah.
So, those are nice, though. Matcha lattes are awesome.
There's even turmeric milk now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Haldi ka doodh, which we call it, has been served very in a fancy manner in mm-hmm. cafes. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with it.
Of course.
I think if somebody can market it the way they're supposed to and it sells, it doesn't matter, as long as it's doing the job. But somewhere there's a slight disconnect with what it actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also what I intend to do with my space in Los Angeles. You know, it's just trying to connect India to you know, India to America with food.
Mm-hmm.
And the right way of doing things with and eating the right way. So internationally, yes, Indian food is standing out like big time.
But what about like that perception of Indian food, of it being very spicy?
People love
it. They love it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually embrace it. And I tried to reduce the spice levels when I was doing some tests, and it didn't work. People were like, it didn't taste right. So then I just did the full blown, you know, heat version of it.
Nice.
And people were going
because
crazy.
Maybe when they come to try out Indian food, they come with the expectation that it's going to be like really spicy, or they're well prepared.
So you know, they're well read. Today you pick up any publication abroad and there will be some articles on Indian food, no matter what. Like there'll be somebody writing about it or some recipes given, curry masalas, you know, hand pounded masalas all form a big part of a daily diet. Today you, an average American will probably order Indian food at least once a week in.
Do you remember any of the restaurants or places that you like to go to when you are in US?
Or order from maybe? Honestly, Indian food is something which I make, so I rarely do would have. But I did. When I was researching for Imli, I went to about 40 of them. This was like way back, you know, a year and a half ago. But there was a place called by Akasha. I forget the name now. It was in Culver City, and it was very popular. And she was an American living, you know, who had lived in India, in Chennai, for like some 15 years or something. And they went back and they opened up this Indian place for, you know, in the like a hub of an extremely American suburb, and it was doing phenomenal. And I went and tried the place. It was like really good stuff. So a lot of fusion. There was a place called Dosa in San Francisco. Again, that is slightly more upscale, gourmet kind of South Indian food. But those are kinds of, you know, like there are the mom and pop ones. And then there are these, you know, slightly more upscale places where you land up spending a lot of money. So I don't think there's any mid-level much out there. Spaces, so trying to but if we were to come back to Indian, like India and its trends out here, it's actually the reverse. I've been seeing ever since I've been back in June, American foods taking a big stand. There are places like the Boston Butt, and you know, there's another place in Bandra. It happened in New York. Both of them come from you know, like authentic cuisine
American
from
food.
America.
Yeah.
So it's weird how we're having that switch right now. And that's one of the trends I see going to be playing a big time going from, you know, forward from now.
Okay. And what about you, Anish? You've been traveling quite a lot. And what kind of trends have you seen worldwide?
So I think drinks-wise, craft beer, of course, in the US has been a big thing since a long time. But it's good to see that in India, this year was the year for craft beers when it comes to beverages.
Absolutely.
Bombay has seen so much expansion. I think easily over 100 bars in Bombay today serve craft beer, domestically made craft beer. So that's a big, big step. In terms of the beer itself, abroad I've seen a lot of IPAs which are with more fruits, like grapefruit, some of the stuff which I've got for us to taste. And I see this trend coming in India as well, because a lot of these IPAs which people will upgrade to, if you have a more fruity IPA, it's easier to drink. So those flavors work really well. What I'm seeing a lot in terms of beers abroad is sour beers really come up. That'll take a long time to come to India, but sour beers are the new IPAs in the US right now. Like, I think people are now getting done with the whole IPA trend, and a lot more sour beers are coming up.
Oh, that's interesting. We're trying out one sour beer today.
A sour IPA. It is more of a sour beer than an IPA, actually. And we're trying out the Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin, which is, they do a fantastic IPA, and this is a grapefruit version of that. It's insane. And actually, grapefruit and IPAs go so well that I've been carrying around some grapefruit extract with me everywhere I go and just add it to the IPAs and have it. I think another trend which I saw abroad, which will obviously come down to India as well, is rye whiskies and bourbon. I think bourbon and rye whiskies have made a big comeback in terms of cocktails. And the fact that even someone like a Johnny Walker is now doing a rye cask finish, another thing which we'll taste today, that shows the impact it's having.
Also, in terms of bar concepts, would you say something that's really like hit the nerve with people, something which is a definite hit a trend which has come up in India?
So I think 2 years back or 2.5 years back, we were rolling on that 1,000 rupee cocktail sort of a thing, which was starting to take place. Thankfully, a lot of that is gone, and we have a lot more affordable places actually to drink. You look at a place like a Social in a Bastog Exchange to at one extreme, which are very affordable. And at Bastog Exchange, you can get a beef eater for like 90 bucks, 100 bucks. It's ridiculous, right? So I know that if I don't ask for an elaborate cocktail, but ask for a gin and tonic with like a Hendrix or with a Bombay Saff or this thing, I'm paying pretty much duty-free price. Like, it's cheaper to drink there than to drink
The only problem is you hardly get placed there if you're not early.
Exactly. And everyone's waiting for the market to crash.
And I wouldn't really trust them with their cocktails and all, but for straight-up drinks and beers and all, it's perfectly fine.
Yes.
But I think the interesting thing is a lot of restaurants upping their game with cocktails, with more affordable cocktails, whether it's a place like Bombay Canteen, whether it's a place like Woodside with the new Woodside and Low Parel, which is like a huge step up in their game.
So how many taps, beers they have on tap?
They have 25 taps. And the interesting thing is right in front of the taps is the cocktail counter. And that's perhaps the best cocktail station I've seen in India.
Wow.
It's really nice. It's in marble. Everything is like built into the marble sink and all of that. It's really well done. So even a place which has 25 taps is taking that much interest in better cocktails. Mm-hmm. That's really good to see.
They're selling beers from every microbrewery.
Everywhere, yeah. I think all Maharashtra beers are there. And what will happen next year with beers is that mostly everyone is going to be in bottles.
Are we getting the license?
Everyone is setting up breweries or using a contract brewer to do it.
Okay.
So pretty much everyone will be in bottles. It's a matter of 6 months to 8 months.
So just for our listeners to understand that in India, it's not allowed right now to sell craft beers in bottle, but they could definitely have a tie-up with a bottling.
Yes. So there are two different licenses. One is your craft beer license, which has now come about, which lets you brew smaller batches and give it out in kegs, but you can't bottle.
Right.
For bottling, you need to have another license, which is a lot more expensive. So it's easier to go to a company who's already brewing and tell them, listen, can we just brew at your place?
And have a contract and bottle.
And a lot of other people do it. Like even Kingfisher and all use contract breweries a lot. So it happens globally. It's not a India-specific thing.
Mm-hmm. So I can look forward to my apple cider in a bottle now.
Oh, it will be. There will be at least 3 apple ciders in bottles next year.
Oh, well done.
Absolutely.
And now, like, we've spoken about the upcoming trends. Nikhil, I'd start with you. Like, what trend did you see, like, kind of going out of style in 2016 when it comes to food?
Maybe molecular gastronomy.
Oh man,
have we done with it yet or not?
No, I don't think so. It could be on its, I wouldn't call it being on its way out. I think it's done to death. There are a few players in the industry today who are doing it right, and I feel these are the guys who should stick to it. Of course, there's always an abundance of talent out there, and I'm sure somebody would want to test those fears and come back. But I think fusion food is going to die a slow death very soon. I think people are doing too much of mixing our regional cuisine and putting whatever they have to in it to make it happen. I feel any which way India does not have a very strong regional cuisine presence in certain cities, in the sense like to the commercial space. You know, like you have to go to a remote area to eat something.
Exactly.
But out here, there will be a handful which you'll go to get the real experience.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to make that approachable, the restaurants or the establishments today are just going completely all out and doing something completely different. Like, why would you do that? Like, you can play around a bit, but I feel you should give precedence to our lost recipes, our regional cuisine first. There's so much more for India to be discovered and brought back to our shores and into our cities, which is not happening.
Yeah. Every region in India has its own, cuisine and its own
and
style.
Several.
So many of them, and we hardly see any of that happening in a place like Bombay, except Rajasthani, Gujarati, or a couple of other states.
Right. Yeah, and like I don't know how many places in Delhi would have like a Maharashtrian food.
No, Delhiites don't like to eat anything else except Mughlai food.
That's not true.
I know, that's not up to Delhiites.
But
I think they're not introduced to it as of now. Yeah. I'm sure they'd love
that's
some
exactly
of the
my
things.
Point, right? Yeah. Like, why
how
can't
many of
missile...
you have had Odia food? Tell me, I'm from Odisha. No one has ever eaten.
And that's what we are saying. It should. It's about hey,
why,
time it comes
why
to
don't
Bombay.
Why don't you serve us some Odia food?
Sunday.
Okay, maybe
your
next
place.
Time.
Yeah. Sure.
No, but I think same thing with drinks, right? This whole molecular drinks thing started off. And just because you add dry ice... and you and have some smoke coming doesn't mean it's molecular at all.
Right. Like, and those drinks never taste good.
Yeah, and molecular drinks are, they take a lot of time and expertise and it's not easy to just do it. And I'd rather any day have a well-made, at least make your margarita correct and to begin with before venturing
a
out into...
a good classic cocktail than actually going for something really fancy that looks very nice but tastes really bad.
But it can get dangerous sometimes. You know, people don't understand the science behind molecular.
We saw this somewhere, right?
Some
we
people
together.
Have died
I'm not gonna name the place.
Of nitrogen.
Yeah, so what has happened is there's this guy who made me a cocktail with dry ice. He said it's something smoke, whatever, tiki based. And I saw him making it and he had put the dry ice in the cocktail. And he stirred it up and whatnot, and then he gave it. I'm like, why haven't you fished it out? He's like, you're supposed to drink it this way, and I'm like, are you crazy? You'll kill someone.
so
that could be dangerous, dangerous as well. Yeah.
But he didn't die. I think that's why the siren they were hoping that you were.
Yeah, we kind of needed like an end to the story.
I know, we're like, where is it?
And Nikhil, we know, is here, so you didn't die either.
So Anish, you have to tell us what's happening in the drink scene right now. There are a lot of bars which have opened up recently and very talented bartenders and, you know, mixologists, they are trying out their hands, and we know there are a couple of them in Delhi and there are a few in Bombay. So why don't you tell our listeners what's happening there?
So one really good sign is that a lot of bartenders are genuinely taking interest in the art.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see that. Now there's a Facebook group, there's a WhatsApp group, like people are talking about recipes, bitters. This did not happen 2 years back.
And bitters are, you know, taking a big comeback this year.
Absolutely.
With people trying out making bitters at home, I've heard.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, bitters are literally like seasoning for cocktails. Like the moment you start using them, it's like realizing what salt was and realizing that you were cooking all this time without salt. Mm-hmm. And then you discover salt. It's been like that. So, it's good to see how much interest people are taking. I think overall quality of our drinks genuinely is going to go up across the board in the next year or two. In terms of really good places to drink in Bombay, I really like One Street Over. Very affordable drinks and well made. You can get a cocktail starting at 350 rupees.
Okay.
I wouldn't trust any other place in Bombay for a 350 rupee cocktail than them.
Mm-hmm.
I think a place like Dairy with Stardorf is, with cocktails is also up their game. They've now got a tiki menu and a couple of other things going.
The Daily has always been good.
Yeah, and I think they've also like now improved quite a bit. And one place which really amazes me every time I go there is Romano's at JW Sahar.
Okay.
They've got perhaps the best bar in town. They've got barrel-aged cocktails going. They've got really good food going.
Mm.
And no one knows about that place. every time we go there, it's like
People only talk
us.
About the pizza at Romano's.
Yeah, so no, you just go there. In fact, we both went there the other day. We just got some
food
cocktails, we got some pizzas, and it was great.
Wow.
And Delhi's got a few places as well. Delhi's got Perch. Perch has got two outlets. They've got really good drinks. Delhi also has a really proper speakeasy. Not a speakeasy which has a PR agency, because that's just... what's the point?
What's the point of having a speakeasy?
But Delhi has a speakeasy, and I end up going there almost every trip now because I can go there. Again, they'll make you whatever you want. They've got a really cool menu as well. You can smoke a cigar there. And if you take out your camera, they'll very politely tell you that, sir, please don't take a picture and please don't talk about this anywhere.
Oh, really?
Now that is a speakeasy.
That's how it should be.
That's
quite a trend coming up there.
So that's the good thing. It's not like the speakeasies which came up in Bombay and then you had...
everyone knew where it was.
A bit of an oxymoron that you have a PR.
Like imagine your press agencies every day sending, SMSing the codes of the place, right? Like, that's not how it works. You can't publicize a speakeasy.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that is happening. Even Bangalore's got, you know, for example, Toast and Tonic has come up, totally gin focused. So I think
that's one bar I would love to go, because I want to try out as many gins as possible. But no, except Arola, which was there in JW earlier, there's no one else.
Yeah, and till now there's no one else.
Yeah, so
the other good, the other interesting thing which will happen in 2017 is you'll see a lot more domestic alcohol brands coming up.
Okay.
So we obviously have Amrut and Paul John, which are both now available in
and
Bombay.
And Wild Tiger Rum.
I know Wild Tiger's there, exactly. Yeah. I know two people who are doing gin.
Okay.
So we'll have proper Indian gin.
That's great.
There'll be proper Indian tonic water.
Okay. I know you were working on tonic water.
I'm involved in a project with that. So next year is also going to be pretty interesting for spirits in terms of homegrown stuff rather than only beers. Okay. Of course, beers are becoming a big thing. We, in fact, have a product called the Beer Passport.
Yes.
What is that all about?
That's a very interesting concept.
Imagine a Starbucks card, but for beers.
Wow.
So that's how it is. And we basically make you pre-buy at a cheaper price.
Okay.
So you pre-buy 10 beers at $16.99, including all taxes. So that's 169 rupees for a craft beer at any of our partner outlets.
That sounds like a hit to me. Yeah. So as of now, yeah. I'm sure people will be...
I think you sold out at the few hours when we launched the first one.
How can I get a beer passport?
You just have to go to our app, Hipcask. Just download the app. You can buy it instantly. You can gift it. We're seeing a lot of gifting because of the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool beer loyalty program,
right?
And a lot of people who may hesitate to spend that little bit more money on craft beers, I think this breaks the barrier very well for them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, that sounds really interesting. Yeah. Now we're talking about beer, and I can't, you know, stop looking at those beer cans, and we should taste those beers.
I think it's a drum roll moment because it's the first time ever we have a tasting happening on our podcast live. Very exciting. Super. And I think unfortunate for our listeners, they can't taste it, but we can tell them how it was. So let's go ahead.
Cool. Let's do this.
So what are we tasting first? Tell us everything about it.
I think we should actually start with the Johnnie Walker first.
Yeah.
Because after these, we won't be able to drink... We won't be able to taste the beer otherwise. So coming back to the whole rye story, this is a scotch which is finished in rye whiskey barrels. And just one moment, let's just pour it.
But wasn't rye a very popular whiskey in the, you know, in America and in the, you know, Western world for a very long time? It's just that internationally now rye is coming up as a big,
I think all of these trends, you know, are just coming back. It's like bourbon, right? Bourbon was just looked down upon, and suddenly now bourbon is the cool thing to make cocktails with all over again.
And especially like what happened with, Japanese whiskeys after Jim Murray gave a very good rating to Japanese whiskey, and suddenly they became so popular. And that's how Amrut and Paul John became so popular.
But you know what? With Japan, I think Japanese products still had that Japanese brand that, you know, they must be really well made. The same did not translate to the Canadian whiskey.
Yeah.
Nikhil, what was the name? Crown Royal.
Crown Royal.
Same thing did not happen with them. Yeah. Their sales did not go that berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's happened with the Taiwanese whiskey either.
Not so much.
The way it happened with Japan.
But I don't think Taiwanese whiskeys are exported so much as Japanese whiskeys.
But every duty free has it.
Yeah.
And now I think Japanese whiskeys, there are so many new brands coming up just because people are lapping it up.
And I've heard stories like, you know, the US has actually taken the entire stock of Japanese whiskey, so there's no stock available for any other country, so there's no allotment happening for
But it's still difficult to get Japanese whiskeys in USA.
Of course.
Even out there, you know, when I've gone and tried to buy it from a regular store, it's just not possible to get the real good ones, at least.
If you take most of the Johnnie Walker whiskies, they'll be more on the fruitier, smoky side.
There's more toffee and
but
caramel.
Here with the rye, there's so much spice coming through.
Yeah, so what do you have?
Our producer wants to try one. Shraddha, would you like to try some?
It's beautiful. It's got that roughness of American bourbon.
Yeah.
Which is something I
really like. And sweetness on the nose, which is quite prominent.
And spicy. That's the thing with a lot of Japanese whiskies for me. Sometimes they're too smooth. Like, sometimes you want some roughness, right? Which bourbon does really well. I think this is a good balance between scotch and bourbon.
Wow, this is very
What's
nice.
What's the verdict, Rajita? We want to hear it.
It's very nice, smooth, and the spiciness comes in the end. So it's not... First, when you put it in your mouth, on the first note, is very smooth and mild and mellow. You get that little bit of creaminess, and spice comes in the end. So I think it's a beautiful balance. Really
like
nice
I would make,
whiskey.
I would use this for cocktails. I think this would lend really well for cocktails.
I know. What do you do with it? Just asking.
I would make an old fashioned. Easy. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's,
I think
there's some whiskies which don't go very well with cocktails. Like, you remember we tried one of the single malts in one of the parties there. And the, I think it was, if I'm not wrong, it was Singleton.
Okay.
And at one of the events that we were recently, and the cocktail, the whiskey was so overpowering that the cocktail was completely gone. I mean, you couldn't taste anything else in that.
I'm a big fan of rye whiskeys, especially for cocktails, and I think this is a very good balance.
Yeah, but I think this could work.
Funnily enough, Jim Beam has now done a whiskey which has some amount of scotch in it. So it's just funny that they're trying to put in some scotch in their whiskey. These guys are trying to put some rye element to their whiskey. So a lot of that.
Have you tried it?
I didn't pick it up.
No one has done anything like that. Right?
I saw it at duty free. It's called Jim Beam Dram.
How much of scotch and how much of?
They haven't said that. They haven't specified that.
But you know, you spoke about you brought up an interesting point about how some powerful single malts or whiskies don't really go well with cocktails.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a lot of single malt producers out there who also feel that, you know, they don't want to push the whole cocktail version of having, of style of having malts.
Exactly.
But it's funny because we had, you know, there's this, I had made an old fashioned once, and it so happened I had half a bottle, like, you know, a little bit of bourbon left, and then I had a little bit of Lagavulin 16 left.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure, and there were few more people than necessary, you know, out there to make the same cocktail. So while I made the original old fashioned, I did spritz a little bit of the Lagavulin onto it.
Oh.
And it just brought a whole new different level to it. So it also depends on the balance,
and how they create it.
Very important.
In fact, for me, my best whiskey cocktail right now is an old fashioned with 45 ml bullet rye and 15 ml Laphroaig and cherry bitters.
Wow!
So you get the whole spiciness with the rye, and the little bit of sweetness. You get the whole smokiness coming in from the Laphroaig. And cherry just gives you that slight fruitiness. It's really nice.
Hey, now that's balance.
We'll make that balance.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
I know. And coming back to like trends and the Christmas and the New Year holidays, what cocktails would you say are becoming hot favorites among people?
So I think this is obviously the weather for, like, we can do warmer drinks. So I think this is the time we can really enjoy our hot toddies and mulled wine. And like, we only get in Bombay 2 months to do that. So
I would say a month.
Yeah, so let's make use of that. What we are tasting here is Ballast Point's Grapefruit IPA.
All right.
Okay. This is my first Grapefruit IPA.
Oh, you'll get hooked onto these.
Oh my God, I love the nose.
I can actually get the nose.
And you know what? Grapefruit and IPA is such a bloody good combination.
Wow, this is amazing.
It works on both levels because the hops they use have some amount of grape aromas, grapefruit aromas. And it's basically just boosted that with the grapefruit, and even on the palate, like
it's
that.
Delicious.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
I'm completely impressed with the nose. It's so beautiful, and I anyways like grapefruit in my cocktail, so I think beer is.
And very true to what's written here, with a citric twist. Like, you can actually.
There's a very good line which says even though grapefruit is a winter fruit, this is a great summer drink.
It could be. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, this is my favorite IPA. Like, I'm telling you, this whole juicy IPA thing is going to be a pretty big thing.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah, and I you know, the burst of after flavors that are happening.
It's still a little bitterish,
this citric.
And goes perfectly, like grapefruit and IPA. Who thought?
And I have a feeling you could also make some nice cocktails out of it. Beer cocktail, maybe?
Possibly,
yeah.
You could.
I doubt it. There's so many flavors
Not, you know, there are not too many beer cocktails which are popular, but I think this could work.
I'm personally not a big fan of beer cocktails.
Me neither.
There is one actually from Mexico. It's called Micheladas. Very popular in, you know, in America.
Okay.
Especially in LA, there's one place which I really, really love. They make it. There's a place called Bizarro Capital near my house. I'm telling you, the Micheladas they make. So it's basically a spiced beer cocktail.
Okay.
It's like your beer version of a Bloody Mary. So they use Mexican beer. They use like a spice mix which goes in and tomato juice. But it's actually clamato, which is clams and tomatoes.
Oh.
And it's just crazy. Like, it's one of the best beer cocktails I think a person can make. It's so complex.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised nobody in Bombay is doing it. I think it's a matter of time before somebody gets
yeah,
onto
I'm
it.
Sure.
Okay, I think you should finish your beer because the next beer we're tasting is a sour beer.
Okay.
And this is also a trend which... So Gateway Brewing Company in Bombay, they did an experimentator batch of wild fermented beer, which came out really well. Arbor is doing a barrel-aged sour, which is, again, a very good beer.
So, is GBC the only one doing a wild yeast fermented beer?
It was an experimentator batch.
Okay.
It was really, really good, and we kept asking them, like, when are you going to start making them? They're like, okay, if you're drinking this and you're alive after a day, we'll definitely make this.
So you were at the guinea pig,
But imagine wild fermented in Dombivli.
Wow.
like that's just
that's a first.
Wait, it sounds exotic to somebody else.
To somebody else, right? But when you say Dombivli ke gutter se mandap,
oh god,
it may not sound the best, right? But it is so exciting. It was such a wonderful beer. We couldn't stop drinking it. I think they had 40 liters at 2 kegs, and we finished a keg on that evening itself. It was beautiful.
Well, that sounds interesting. Okay, so now we are tasting the Sour IPA.
Yes.
Great.
And the logo here says tart and juicy.
Yeah, it's tart and juicy, and on the nose.
Right, so let's see.
It's tart on the nose. It's got that little bit of stink, that funkiness.
Like I was about to ask that. What is this?
Just think of a gutter. I'm serious.
Are we tasting
that's
gutter
the first
today?
I've heard of the tasting.
But beautiful. It's like stinking socks, rotten cardboard.
Oh my god! You're not really selling this here. You know, it's not.
Come on, that's a sewer right there.
Yeah,
it actually is. It is.
But it's beautiful. Taste it.
Oh my god.
Wow.
This is
it's
like
sour
some other level.
And how? Yeah, wow. You get that.
Yeah,
it's
so
a
either,
little
it's,
little,
either
it's a little
you're gonna
way
love
too.
This or you're gonna hate this.
I kind of like it.
You know, this reminds me of lambic.
Yeah, it is like a lambic. Exactly.
Because lambic is also wild yeast fermentation,
right? So what GBC did was a lambic. It's just that they can't call it a lambic. And it was a much more controlled version of it. But yeah,
so for our listeners, do you want to say what lambic is?
Yeah, so basically these are beers which are wild fermented. So they will put these in open air containers and natural yeast in the air will ferment the beers.
Yeah, well,
and this is mainly found in Belgium.
In Belgium.
Yeah, it's a lambic is from Belgium. And I have been to one of the most famous lambic producers in Belgium, in the outskirts of Belgium city. I'm sure you've also been there.
I haven't been there.
Cantillon.
I haven't been to Belgium.
So it's that place is really, once you walk into that, it's 100 or 200 year old place. And then, you know, they preserve all the rotten and old things there. So you can
exactly.
see actually the wild yeast. And the cobwebs and everything preserved, like, you know, they are a part of the beer.
Like, honestly, I don't know where the yeast came from for this beer as well.
No, thanks really for telling us like after the
maybe it came from someone's like nose.
Oh, Rajit, I'm not having this anymore. But
no, I love the grapefruit. That was really
good.
I like
the sour too. I think it's something you acquire taste to. I know you can definitely have a few sips. If I can finish a full glass of beer, I don't know.
One of my trips to the US this year in Miami, I got a habanero sour IPA.
Okay.
And that place also had chicken and waffles, and I think that's one of my most memorable meals in a very long time.
Wow.
And that combination was insane.
Interesting.
And Arbor does a sour beer in barrels. Really well done. Really well done.
Wow. So, who else is doing sour beers in India?
Only these two are doing it right now. The issue is, if you really want to do a true sour beer with wild fermented thing, your brewing equipment has to be it has to be separate equipment.
Okay.
Because if your regular equipment catches the...
Oh, then the yeast, flavor is there.
Or if it catches Brettanomyces, which is another bacteria, you pretty much can do nothing about it. You rather just burn down your brewery and build a new
one.
Oh, my God.
So,
so basically,
some hard facts by Anish here today.
So no one will risk their brewery by doing that. They'll have to invest in a separate brewing system only for these kind of beers.
Okay. Of course.
And the other thing is, of course, return, right? Return on investment. Now, let's make people drink IPAs before we
jump into
sour beers.
That's true. Yeah. But the grapefruit sounds like a very interesting plan, and someone should do it in India as well, I hope. And thank you so much, guys. I think we've covered a lot of things.
Yeah.
Thank
thanks
you.
For being here on the first holiday season special episode of the Drink the Rashmi podcast. And so what's your, before we move out of the session, so what's your plan for Christmas and New Year? What are you planning, Anish? I'm sure you have some big party plan.
I am in Bangalore with my girlfriend. It's going to be with her.
And what will you be drinking?
I've actually So she's making mulled wine, and I've earmarked a really good bottle of Marzi, which is an Italian producer. So maybe I'll know about
Marzi. Yeah.
And Nikhil, what are you eating and drinking?
It's actually my birthday on 24th, so it's always celebration.
Are we invited?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, to the party.
I've not planned any party.
I've heard about your rooftop parties, by the way.
Exactly.
So I think this year
those are wild ones.
Can I?
Are you cooking?
Yes, I am. I always do.
What
so
are you making?
A lot of grills again. I'm bringing America to India. But I have this. So I also, you know, when I speak about regional, I intend, trying to talk about regional cuisine a lot. So there's this very very winter food from Surat, Ahmedabad, basically called ponk. It's green millet. And that's something which I'm going to keep a table of. It's supposed to be mixed with a variety of saves and chutneys and had like bhel. But it's also extremely heavy for your stomach. So but it's an experience. So I've actually called for it from Surat, and I'm going to have that as one of the, you know, the fun stuff to do.
Sounds interesting.
But and Christmas is always with family, so I'm looking forward to know spending some time with them.
Sounds very nice.
Thank you so much for talking to us. It's so interesting and the tasting, and we wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
So we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we will tell you about some happening parties on Christmas and New Year's Eve in Delhi, Bombay and Bangalore. Stay tuned.
It was rated Goregaon's most intelligent podcast. It was the best new podcast of the day when it was launched. And now, the irreverent brand of attempted humor and botched education is coming your way. You have many burning questions.
So what is the Brexit? What do mathematicians do, man?
Introducing Simplified, a weekly podcast that deconstructs issues around you, such as, what on earth is Bitcoin?
So Bitcoin is just another currency like the rupee or dollar. The difference here is it's a virtual currency.
Do resolutions and cameras really matter?
They think that just because a number is higher, what they're getting is actually more.
And encryption.
So encryption, okay, it's a process of encoding messages in such a fashion that only the intended recipient sees it in its intended format.
Hosted by Narendra Shanoy, a very wise man who can't stop making B.G. Woodhouse references. And Deepak Gopalakrishnan, who calls himself Chuck, a madman who can't stop making poor jokes.
Narendra, what do you call a forest where you find all the latest news?
I don't have a good feeling about
that. A topical rainforest.
Follow Chuck and Narain as they scour Google and read Wikipedia for you and condense it into language you can understand. Simplify, helping you appear smarter to an audience that knows no different.
Hi, welcome back from the break. And right in the beginning of the episode today, Rajita, we promised our listeners that we are going to tell them about the great
happenings and events all across the country.
Exactly. Yeah. Christmas and New Year, much awaited time of the year, and I'm sure people could do with some help about what's happening around Delhi, Bombay and Bangalore. Well, we can't give you each and every detail, but we have found some highlights. In fact, Rajita, I found out what would be happening in Delhi. So Olive Bar and Kitchen in Delhi, which is the favorite for most of the Delhiites, they love going there. And especially at this time of the year, because it has some open air area and you can actually see the Qutub Minar from there. So it looks absolutely gorgeous. So Olive in Delhi is having two events, and it's kind of called the Christmas Drunch. They have a Christmas Eve and a brunch event happening. Yeah, where they set up like Christmas food feasts with kiosks full of seasonal favorites. And you know, they have the Christmas Eve feast with unlimited food and a welcome drink that is priced at 2,500 per person, and the Christmas brunch with unlimited food and premium alcohol is priced at 2,849 per.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent deal, I think. And if you talk about Delhi, you know, they absolutely love Punjabi music.
Of course, you know?
Punjabi food and music is a big hit in Delhi and NCR. So the Leela Ambience Hotel in Gurgaon is hosting a big New Year bash with Punjabi singing icon Diljit Dosanjh.
Wow.
So for everybody who likes that, can be headed there on New Year's Eve. And Kitty Sue, another famous place in Delhi at the Lalit, is one popular hotspot and is having the White Christmas Extravaganza.
That's very interesting. In fact, the hotel in Bombay also is having a huge bash, and we'll talk about that once you finish the Bangalore and other places.
Yeah, because Kitty Sue, I feel, generally has become, at least with all the young ones, it's so popular and the go-to place.
Big party place.
Yeah. And so the Le Meridien Gurgaon is hosting the festive wine social on the 23rd December. So this will be a power-packed event with Christmas carols, live music, mulled wine, etc. And they will also be announcing their upcoming events on this day. And this is, I would say, something which is reasonably priced. It's starting from 1,000 rupees per person.
Okay.
So, you know, people who are looking not to spend too much can definitely head there.
That's true.
And now let's come to Bangalore. I'm sure a lot of people will be excited to know what to
do in Bangalore. And Bangalore has a huge population of people who like to drink and, you know, go out and obviously enjoy. And the weather must be really good in Bangalore.
The weather must be really good. And one more thing I found out is that Bangalore has a huge pub culture, right?
Yes.
So apart from the hotels, there are a lot of like things happening in and around the pubs, like there are improv shows happening, stand-up comedies where you can drink and laugh
theaters
with your friends.
And it's a brilliant place
I'm sure anyone who's looking for something different also can head to Bangalore, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so Bangalore is the Hyatt at the Bangalore is doing a Christmas Day brunch on 25th December, and this is priced at 2,500 onwards.
Okay.
And the Ritz-Carlton has something very interesting for
New
Year's
Eve. Oh, I love that bar, Bang. Yeah. I've been there. I've stayed in the Ritz-Carlton, and I know that that's a beautiful place to spend your Christmas or New Year's
Eve. And spend a lot of money also.
Yes,
because,
I know.
Yes, Bang, the elevated rooftop experience, which is probably one of the biggest bash in the city, with DJs who will have everyone spinning through the night, signature recipes and delicious beverages. Well, the couple premium there is 18,000. And there's a couple deluxe option they have, which is 15,000. And for single entry, it's about 10,000 rupees. So I would say that's pretty steep. But like you mentioned, that I'm sure it's going to be...
I'm sure the crowd is going to be fantastic. And the place is really, absolutely the best place to be on a Christmas or a New Year Eve.
So I guess anyone who's looking for like a fancy, never able to forget experience can definitely
must hit the Bang.
The Ritz-Carlton. And then we have Vivanta by Taj at MG Road, which has the New Year's Eve at ICE happening on 31st, and they have some pretty famous DJs over there, and it's hosted by Richard Matthew. So these are a few things which you can look forward to in Delhi and Bangalore.
Oh, that's great. In fact, Bombay has way too many things happening.
What's going on in our city?
I was just trying to look for some option, you know, information, and I found out that almost every place is doing some event or the other. So it was difficult for me to actually find out which is going to be the best ones, but I've just noted that. And the Christmas and New Year party at the Trident Nariman Point is going to be a good one. Looks like that, because it, you know, you can have an unforgettable holiday in a spectacular location, obviously, because you have a great view there. And you could also enjoy the breakfast and indulge in spa therapies and rejuvenate in the swimming pool. And obviously, you can have a nice stay there, basically.
Yeah.
Then in Sofitel BKC, you could actually see the beautiful fountain that they make from the champagne bottles every year. Which is so it's a fountain. They make a fountain. They also do a champagne bottles Christmas tree.
Wow, I've never seen that. I think this is the place where I should be heading on.
So it's something to really see there. And with an enchanting gingerbread house and a joyful Santa Claus and, you know, artistic festive glass paintings. So every guest is sure to be engulfed in the spirit of Christmas if you go to Sofitel. Then we have Asilo in Palladium Hotel. For New Year, that sounds like a very interesting place to be this year, because they have plans of doing a beautiful party or you know, it's kind of a top vintage soiree this year, and Asilo promises the sexiest countdown to 2016 with one of his biggest parties to date. And you could basically the burlesque themed party which is going to happen there. So, and the prices are as you mentioned earlier in Riz, it's almost the same price, like 15,000 per couple, but 8,500 per single person. So it's still not so bad, because I know that that party is going to be the happening party in the city.
And I think in Bombay right now, if you talk about like Asilo, would probably be the most popular one of the popular places.
Asilo. Yeah, these
so I can imagine them having like the creme de la creme party on New Year's Eve.
And besides that, obviously, the Lalit Mumbai has a grand mansion-themed party this year. Mm-hmm. They're dividing the entire hotel with some zones. One mansion, three zones, three stages, and nine massive LED bars. 11 artists are going to perform. Sounds like a brilliant plan. And so you could choose any of the, you know, areas in Lalit, and you could just go and party there. It starts from 4,000 rupees onwards.
Wow.
For all the parties. So it depends where exactly you want to be there. And besides that, there are a lot of brunches and lunches happening at JW Marriott Sahar, mm-hmm. and Juhu, then Four Seasons, Oberoi, Taj Santa Cruz, and other places for Christmas and New Year.
Wow. Well, you know, there's so many things and places to look forward to. I think it's great. And before we end the episode today, we have a few interesting bites for you to listen to. So let's just go ahead and listen to the hotel manager of Four Seasons Hotel Mumbai, Mr. Jasjeet Singh Assi, and food and beverage manager, the Leela Mumbai, Mr. Abhishek Basu, has to say about the Christmas and New Year special events taking place in their respective hotels this year.
Hi guys, greetings from the Leela Mumbai. We have kick-started this life-size gingerbread house. Visit us with your little ones, family and friends to discover the joy of gifting and enjoy the special Christmas treats menu created for the season. Guests will be enthralled with carol singing from the 22nd of December till the 25th. We have also an interesting line of festive indulgences for the season. For Christmas Eve, we have a special buffet at Citrus offering traditional Christmas delicacies and cuisines from across the globe. For those looking at intimate dining experience, can make their way up to Le Cirque Signature, where we have curated a special set menu which will be paired with the finest of wines from across the world. For Christmas, the high point remains the sparkling Christmas brunch with Santa by the pool. For New Year's Eve, we are offering a celebration for every mood and taste. If you're looking at dancing the night away, 6 degrees is the place to be. We will also have a buffet and a live barbecue station for you to enjoy your taste buds. You can wine and dine at Le Cirque Signature, as we have curated a special 6-course dinner for our guests. People who wish to enjoy the last day of the year feasting on an exotic meal can reserve a table at one of our specialty restaurants, either the Chamavar or the Great Wall or Citrus, and feast on their favorite cuisine and ringing their new year. Bookings open at the festivity desk, the Leela Mumbai, location, the lobby. See you there. Book your tickets now. This year, our focus is not only on food, but experience. We want to pamper our guests with the best. We have given a lot of thought in conceptualizing our events. A sample, for example, our Indian-themed dinner at Chamavar on New Year's Eve will have live ghazal performance to go with the theme. And you will also see some spectacular displays of food and plating as well. Another thing which I think is standing out this year is the offer of you stay in a luxurious room with a comp, then you get ones on the Great Wall trees, and you also have great discounts in the spa and the salon. Come stay the new year at the Leela Mumbai. Book your staycation and your evening at the festivity desk, the Leela Mumbai. See you at the lobby. See you for this new year. Thank you.
Well, that was Mr. Basu. Now let's go ahead and hear what Mr. Jasjeet Singh Assi has to say.
This time of the year is always special to people from all over the world and within India. The city is buzzing with excitement, energy and party places to go to. Four Seasons Mumbai will be a destination that caters to different age groups, starting with our festive Christmas tree lighting ceremony, which is very unlike a traditional Christmas tree. It will be a CSR activity supporting the underprivileged children from the Navjeevan Foundation, carol singing, mulled wine. And the highlight will be the Christmas tree that will be installed with fiber optic cables coming down from the roof in collaboration with Shivangi Shah from High Form. So if you're around Mumbai, please do come and see our special Christmas tree this year. We have a lot of events planned for this festive season, starting over from the 24th evening, which is a special Christmas party at AIR, and it's named as the Winter Wonderland. We are going to convert AIR into a very white Christmas theme and have great DJs, have great cocktails by head mixologist Ashish Sharma, who's going to give various takes on your classics like your eggnogs, barrel-aged cocktails, and traditional classics like hot chocolate as well. 25th Christmas Day, come over and we invite people from all age groups to join us for a Christmas brunch with free-flowing champagne. Fantastic kids area that is big enough, live band and traditional Christmas barbecues. The menu is curated by our executive chef, Desi De Vez, who's Dutch and has extensive experience working all over the world. With a brand new culinary team at Four Seasons Hotel Mumbai, starting from our executive chef, Desi De Vez, who comes with an extensive experience in Southeast Asia plus a Michelin star background. We expect a lot of food trends coming out for 2016 for this festive and following into 2017. We also introduce in 2016 festive period our Chinese chef, who is an expert in Sichuan, Beijing and Guangdong food, and will give a twist to the Sanchi Chinese kitchen that we have. Our Thai chef, Chef Peshad, has an extensive background playing with Thai flavors, authentic Thai food from the Ayutthaya times, and has worked with the Four Seasons for the last 10 years and comes to us this year as well. Moving forward, Chef Desi and his team will create curated events and menus to keep the excitement and buzz at Four Seasons Hotel Mumbai, like whiskey dinners, like wine dinners, special brunches on events that are going to be there, and are very new revamped Sunday brunch, which is taken off very well and brings in a lot of buzz into the city. So we look forward to seeing you all there, and you all have a great Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, Rajita, from the sounds of it, I think we have lots of options to choose from, and I think it was a great episode today. Totally got me in the festive mood. I'm feeling all Christmassy and New Year-y and all set for the holiday season.
Absolutely, and especially after listening to the boys, what they had to talk about, what were the trends in 2016 and what to look forward to, the bar openings and obviously the hotels and the plans. I think this was a fun-filled and completely information-packed episode.
Not to forget, a highlight was the first time ever that we did a tasting on our podcast.
Absolutely. I think we're going to do many more tastings, but Yay. This was the first, so it was a fun thing to do. So wish you all a Merry Christmas. And stay tuned for another exciting episode next week. It's going to be our second holiday season special episode, and before the new year starts. And so do tune in to us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You could also subscribe to us and on IVM podcast, or you could also like us our page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And like we always say, that while all of us love our tipple, make sure that you drink responsibly.
Our podcasts bring all the boys to the yard, and damn right, they're better than yours. But you don't need to stand outside in the yard. Just follow IVM Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We might be on Tinder too. Just go ahead and swipe right.